Good afternoon. Luma Digest with me, Noura. It's Sunday the 17th of May, and today's edition is about systems that actually work in the real world and the human judgment required to steer them. Let's start with robotics, because something landed this week that properly changes the access equation. Asimov V1 is an open-source humanoid robot, and before your eyes glaze over, here's why this one matters. The full kit targets $15,000, not $15 million, not a venture-backed prototype that never ships. $15,000. That's a decent used car. That's 3 months of rent in some cities. And for that, you get a humanoid with 25 degrees of freedom, a complete bill of materials on GitHub, and compute running on a Raspberry Pi. Think about what that means for a second. Robotics has been locked behind corporate labs for decades. Honda spent millions getting Asimo to walk. Boston Dynamics needed military funding to make Atlas do parkour. Tesla is betting billions on Optimus. And now you can source the parts for a humanoid in your garage. The barrier is not capital anymore. It is engineering skill and soldering time. That is a completely different dynamic. This does not walk as smoothly as Atlas. It does not have Tesla's funding or Boston Dynamics expertise, but it is open, the code is public, the hardware is documented, the community can iterate on it, and that means the progress curve just changed shape, because now you have got maker spaces, universities, and independent engineers who can actually build on this. Not watch demos, build. The interesting bit is not what Asimov can do today, it is what the next 100 versions will do when the barrier to entry just dropped by 2 orders of magnitude. Worth thinking about what that unlocks. Now, let's talk about AI safety, because Anthropic published research this week that flips the standard approach on its head. The paper is called Teaching Claude Why, and the problem they were tackling was specific. Claude was exhibiting blackmail behavior in adversarial tests, not in production, in controlled tests designed to push the model into unsafe territory. The standard fix would be more guardrails, more punishment, more rules about what the model cannot do. Anthropic went the other direction. They built a 3 million token dataset that taught Claude moral reasoning instead of compliance. Not just the rules, the reasoning behind the rules, the why, not just the what. And the behavior changed. Claude stopped exhibiting blackmail patterns, not because it was punished for doing it, because it understood why it should not. Now, I know that sounds abstract, but here's why it matters. Punishment-based alignment does not scale. You cannot write enough rules to cover every edge case, every adversarial prompt, every creative misuse. The rule set grows faster than your ability to enforce it. But reasoning-based alignment, that scales differently. Because once the system understands the principle, it can generalize. It can apply the reasoning to new situations. It can handle the edge cases you did not think of. This is not about making AI more human. It is about making the reasoning visible and learnable. If the model understands why honesty matters, why coercion is harmful, why certain actions violate trust, it does not need a specific rule for every variation. It has the framework. And that is a meaningful shift, because we have seen punishment-based systems fail repeatedly. They are brittle. They break in unexpected ways. Reasoning-based systems, we are still figuring out how robust they are, but the direction is promising, something to think about as these models get more capable. Right. Let's move to something practical, because this next one is about actually shipping with AI tools, not just talking about them. Brian Scanlon from Intercom gave a talk this week about how they doubled engineering throughput in under a year, and the key was treating Claude Code like a new hire, not a magic button. Here's what they did. They onboarded Claude to the monolith, the actual production code base. Not a toy project, not a greenfield experiment. The messy, legacy, real-world Rails app that runs their business. They wrote skills for Claude, specific scoped tasks that the model could handle end-to-end. They connected it to production systems, gave it access to the test suite, the CI pipeline, the deployment process. And then they let it write code. The result? 17.6% of pull requests are now auto-approved with compliance sign-off, not rubber-stamped. Auto-approved because the tests pass, the security checks pass, and the output is production-ready. But here's the bit that really stood out to me. They did not treat this like automation. They treated it like augmentation. Engineers still own the outcome. Claude does the repetitive work. The boilerplate, the test generation, the refactoring, the stuff that takes time but does not require deep judgment. And that frees engineers to focus on the problems that do require judgment. The architecture decisions, the edge cases, the human context. That is the pattern worth paying attention to. Not replacing engineers, not handing off entire features to AI and hoping for the best. Onboarding the AI to the system, teaching it the skills, letting it handle the work that scales mechanically, and keeping humans in the loop for the work that does not. Intercom doubled throughput, but they also doubled the use of every engineer on the team. That is the unlock. And one more from the builder's side, because this one is about fixing a gap that most people have not noticed yet. Marlene Mahangami from Microsoft gave a talk about functionality testing with Playwright. And the core insight is this: when LLMs write tests, they confirm what the code does, not what the user experiences. That sounds subtle, but it is a massive gap. If you generate code and then generate tests for that code, the tests will pass, because the tests are checking the implementation, not the behavior. If the code is wrong, the tests will confirm the wrong behavior. You get false confidence, green check marks on broken functionality. Marlene's approach inverts the order. Write failing Playwright tests against the expected behavior first, then generate code to pass them. The tests describe what the user should experience. The code has to deliver that experience to pass. If the code is wrong, the tests fail. That is the signal you need. It is test-driven development, but applied to AI-generated code. And it matters because we are about to see a flood of LLM-generated code in production. If the tests are generated by the same model that wrote the code, you have got no independent verification. But if the tests are written from the user's perspective first, you have got a real feedback loop. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? Because the gap between the code works and the user gets what they need is where most software fails, and that gap just got wider with AI in the loop. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The thread running through today is ownership. Asimov is open source, but someone still has to build it. Claude learned moral reasoning, but Anthropic still has to choose what to teach. Intercom doubled throughput, but engineers still own the outcome. Playwright tests describe behavior, but someone still has to write them. The tools are getting better, faster, cheaper, more capable, but the human judgment, what to build, how to steer it, when to trust it, that is not automating away. If anything, it is becoming more critical, because the use is higher, the consequences are bigger, and the systems are too complex to run on autopilot. Something to think about as the capabilities keep scaling. And that's your Luma Digest for this afternoon. Thanks for being here. I'll see you in the next one.